that I would look at function groups first and then go back and do a more, as I said, user-friendly kind of update that will be all on one form. So starting with functions, we're going to learn a little bit about having everything on one form. So, I believe it is okay, so function group we're going to look at, and probably update function will probably be Thursday. So, to start out, hello world kind of start. I am setting up a very simple function here, and the function is called say hello. And when I execute the function, it does just that, it says hello. So I have three times that I executed the function, and it ended up saying hello three times. Okay, so the structure for calling the function is the say hello with the two parentheses after it, which is the same way it is in most languages. And the function itself has the curly braces around the content. And some people like to put in the note here that it's the end, just to show that it's the end. That's not a requirement or needed or anything, but some people just like to do it that way. Okay, now let's see if it will. No, it won't cooperate. Okay. Some reason I like that height better. Okay, and there's a couple of these hellos that you can look at. I'm only going to look at one, which basically I put in a name of Susan and I'm sending it off. So this also shows you the same format that you get in other things. I've got a function, I've got something that I'm sending, I've defined that, and I am sending it off. Okay, or sending it down, as it turns out. So I hit the say hello. I am defining $name, which I had defined as Susan. It's being received under a different name. It can be received under a different name, or it can be received under the same name. So like in other languages, I can call them both $name, or I can call them different names. And the and sending and receiving can be different names. Okay. So if I run this one, this one is hello function name. so it says, "Hello, Susan," three times. And there are two other variations on that. Come on, you can do it. Okay, so the one of them, I suspect, has the same thing. Yes, this one is the one where I am calling name, and the sending and receiving are both the same. This is a function return, and basically what this has is I am returning the answer. So this is, again, the same way you do it in a lot of languages. Down up here I have a function. The function doesn't get executed except when it's called. Okay, so PHP starts and that function will not get executed. The first thing that's going to get executed is assigning 12 to first in. Okay, so it has completely skipped the function. People lots of times tend to put functions at the bottom to get them out of the way. Other people like them at the top to kind of have them established, and it's up to you how you want to do it. You can obviously mix it in with HTML. This one is strictly PHP. Okay, so when I come to call the function, I am basically saying here, I am doing a call to the function, and I am sending it three things. And when it's all done, I'm returning answer. So whatever answer is going to be here. So I've got to concatenate with answer. Okay, so whatever answer is going to be, it's going to be returned. And I think I just closed that, and that's not what I meant to do. Okay, so if I run this one, this is called function return. And it would have been nice if I took out the other one before I did that. Okay, so that's coming up and showing the things. And I put the number, I echoed it out basically three times. So I call the function, it echoes it from within the function twice, and then it echoes it from here when I do the echo and put everything out there. So I got it to work twice within the function, and then I got it to return, and it came out a third time. Okay. So again, this is just looking at the structure of the function. And return one, I suspect, is very similar. In fact, I don't see the difference here is the answer out. I don't see anything significant. The difference here is I call the function separate from the echo. So I call the function, put the result of the function in answer out, and then use the answer out in the echo. Okay, so I basically drop down, hit the function, and it says do calc function, assign whatever comes back from the return to answer out. And so that gets assigned to answer out. Okay. And then I write answer out. And this one, if I put in the one there, gives me the same exact results. Okay, so in other words, I can get the answer to the function as a separate entity, or what I did up here is I called the function as part of the echo, because when I got to concatenate with, this would end up saying concatenated with the result of the function, what was returned from the function. So I can put the function in at the place that I want to put the answer, or I can do it this way, which is handle the function as a separate command and then take what was returned and show it. Questions. Okay, get process 1, 2, and 3 were there. Get process 4, I actually wrote and I'm trying to be better. Actually, I should do 1 first. I tried to write it in putting the curly braces in the places that people tend to put curly braces. Okay. This one is kind of interesting. This is the beginning of getting the data and processing it all in one. Okay, so here I have a form. Okay, and my form is basically right down there. I'm sorry, right up there. I put it up on this one. I think one of them is down at the bottom. I put the form in, so I have a form and the action is to call the same program. I don't need to have that action there. If I take out the action, it will default calling the same program. So this is program getProcess1.php. I can have or not have the action that uses that call the same program. Okay, so when I click, it's going to basically call the same program. Okay, and I can choose to have that action in there or choose to not have the action in there. Okay. So on this one, I've got the form set up and it's got an input and I'm taking in 2 things and I have a submit button. Now the click is my submit button. I wanted to show you how it had worked. So I put up these print R's, okay? And I put up the print R so that we will see the results. And I'll run through those in a second. One of them is surrounded by a pre, and one of them isn't. So that shows the print R in 2 different ways. So when I run it, well, you can see at the beginning that they're showing it in 2 different ways. Okay? So now I have an if statement down here, and I said, if the post is empty, i.e., if this is empty, and the stu name is also empty, then I am going to not empty. See the explanation, not empty. If it's gut data, in other words, I am going to do something. Okay? So let's do it and see what happens and then come back. If I type in here an and I give a B and I say click, this is the result that I'm getting. Okay, so what it did is it came out and it shows that the stu name that I put in was Ann, that the grade I put in was B, and that I did the click. Okay, so it is showing that I did the click. And the other way I showed it was I said the print R again, but this time doesn't have the pre. It shows it across like that, but it gives you the same information. Okay, so you kind of have to decide which one you like to read best if you want to use it and pick one of them. But that shows the same information. Then I drop down and I echo out hello. I echo out the student's name, and I echo out the grade. And I had commented out, and I don't really know why I left those in there. They can go away. They were commented out. I was experimenting with something. Now, it comes back. If I put in here now John and a B, and I click, okay, it's now gone through, and we now see down at the bottom John and their grade. So I'm able to gather the data and process the data all on one form. Okay? Now, if I click without doing anything, okay, notice it comes out with and shows the student name as having nothing, shows the grade as having nothing, and shows the click. Okay? That it did click. If I put in just the grade and click on it, it also handles it the same way, except that it now shows that I have a C for the click grade. Okay? So, if I did it when I had nothing in there, it only shows the click. And if I did it when I put in a C, it shows the C, but it doesn't do anything because the condition for here was that stu name not be empty. And stu name is empty, so since stu name is empty, it doesn't process. Now, if I put stu name up there with no grade, it processes. It just doesn't give me a grade for Linda. Okay? Because there was no grade, but it still processes. Okay. Now, people tend to do this empty thing, but in fact, the stu name would be enough of a check. But they tend to, when you look at it, they tend to combine the two and say, if the post is not empty and the post is stu name. It's not stu name. Keep forgetting to say the word not. But in fact, that would work if I just tested for the not stu name, and I think I did that in one of the follow-up ones of this. Okay. Because in fact, it's not empty. The click is there. So it really isn't empty. I'm going to run through a couple of these and then come back and see if you have questions. Okay, this is actually the same thing. It's just not showing the information. So if I put in Linda and an A, it just shows me the results. I didn't do the print R. So this is the same one. It's just eliminating the print R. So now I can go back up and start the form again. And this is also using a get. So you can see this one uses the get instead of the post. And you can see what it sends, and it includes the sending of the click. Okay, it includes, it sent over the stu name, it sent over the grade, and it sent over the click. So when the get, you are actually sending over the click on the form. Okay. Not what I wanted to do. I wanted to show that. in the third one, I had a function. Is that the third one? Yes. I'll get this, yeah. Three I want, not four. So in three, I've got a function, and I said an, and I said a b, and I'm saying click, and it's telling me all of that. And I did this one in a function. Okay. So down here I said go do name grade, and this is called name grade. This is where I'm testing, and if it's empty, then I'm not going to do anything. Okay. So if I put in here a click, that's what I get, because it's not empty. Okay, so this one is just testing for the empty, and it's not empty because it's got the word click. The word click was passed, so it's not empty, was in there, so it's not empty, and so it is actually doing the processing. Okay. If I don't want to do the processing, I would need to do the check for stu name being empty, not just the whole thing. Okay, so testing for the whole thing empty, it's not, because I've got a click. Yeah, right.
Is there a way to like save the data we input, or will you go over that later?
Say the collect the data?
Yeah.
Sure. But well, that yes, but that's not today.
Okay.
Actually, it's in the update, so we'll get to it Thursday. So the click here is not, is this one was showing, basically, that that's not a sufficient test. If I want to test and not do it, if they haven't entered data, then I need to check and make sure the stu name has nothing in it. Okay, and it's stu name that is probably the thing that I want to check, not grade. Oh, good. That's the one I did while I was sick. That's not optimistic. Okay, so let's see if we can debug it. Line 19. So where's line 19? That's interesting, because I'm not seeing it. Does anybody see it? It worked just fine. The thing that I added in down here, the JavaScript that I added in down here, is a JavaScript that sets the focus. So I added in down there a JavaScript that sets the focus. Okay. so that puts my focus back on the name. If you can't see it there, but if you run this, it does put the focus back on the name. And I don't see what's wrong with my post name. Does anybody see it? I will try to figure out what's wrong with it, but I don't see what's wrong with it, and I'm not going to take any more time doing it. If I don't put any information in and I click, then I get no results, which is the way it's supposed to work. So I will try to figure it out, but if nobody sees it and I don't see it, then we will move on. That's what I get for writing this in a second. And this is the one I thought that I put the curly braces in the right place. This may be an old version of it that I put up as opposed to the right one, because I thought I had my if statement. I had actually put the curly brace out here as opposed to inside, so I just may have put up the wrong version of this, and there may be some stupid error there that I'm not seeing. But as you all know, we can spend hours debugging. Okay, the next one I'm just going to look at quickly is the pack weight. And this one actually goes back to using the two forms. And I'm going to have you go in and change this to doing it all on one form. But not right now. So what did I spell wrong? PKG WEIGHT gather. Oh, it's gatherfunction.html, obviously. So on this one, I calculate and I say 2 pounds, 2 ounces, and I submit, and it comes back with the answer and says the cost is, and the ounces are, and the grams are. Okay. So if I go in and look at this one, okay, there is where I am gathering the data and submitting. And as I said, one of the things I'm going to ask you to do this week is to take this, and instead of having the HTML page, put it inside and turn it into one. Okay, so I submit this, and it calls the one that says with JavaScript, so that's what it's calling. Okay, now among other things, this one is incorporating some JavaScript in it. Okay, so I've got a function. And here in this function, I have defined global variables of weight, of first pound, of every 4 ounces, and of weight cost. Okay, and I also defined those up above for the regular program. So I am saying here, take in the pounds, take in the ounces. Those come in from the HTML. And then I'm doing a calculation. And then I also threw in some JavaScript. And then in the JavaScript, I converted over to grams, just for the sake of showing that I can put in some JavaScript. And one of the kind of neat ways of putting in the JavaScript is using those here docs. And so you can kind of set up a here doc and say, this is my JavaScript, and you can call it anything you want, and then putting the whole script inside there. And that's kind of a neat way of doing it. We'll look at other ways as we go along. But this is incorporating JavaScript inside, and I've also got a function going on. So if the work weight is less than 17, that means they just get charged for a pound. Else, I go out and I do the function called calculate cost. And I define the variables that I'm going to use in that function at the top, and then go ahead and do the function. Okay? So I've got a while loop in there where I go through and do the calculation. And we've already looked at this program, the calculate weight, when I was doing, I think, ifs and loops. But this just kind of incorporates a function into it, and it incorporates some JavaScript into it. And then what I want you to do is to go in and take the gathering data and incorporate it into it as well. So that you're going to be gathering the data as well as processing the data. So that I don't need the get to bring in the data from an external source like the HTML. Questions? Time at the end, you can stop trying to do that. So I said, go do calculate cost. I have my function calculate cost. I put in the with global, and I list all of the variables that I'm going to be using when I do my calculation inside there. So I have a while loop, and the while loop gets executed until it's done, and then I end up ending the cost and putting the information out. So the variable has been defined externally, and it'll also defined internally, so I come back. After I do the function, I simply say print out the cost, and it prints out the word cost. So that means the things that I'm working on inside the function are not local just to the function. They're available outside the function. So they're available globally, which means they're available outside the function. Okay, the one I want to spend some time on is the one called binary hex test. Okay. So look at binary hex test dot PHP. So I'm going to make this a full thing and do it for a few minutes, and then the second version of this has that set focus in it. It sets the focus to here. But this one does not have that set focus in it. Okay, so I'm saying convert the binary to hexadecimal. Well, this is zero, and I submit the answer, and it says, yes, you got it. Now it wants me to convert, that's one. Now it wants me to convert, and that's what? See how your hexadecimal stayed with you. Ah, come on. Somebody make a guess. What's 1111?
14.
Huh?
14.
Okay. There's this woman I know that taught you hexadecimal. And obviously she did a lousy job.
No, 10, right? No, it's not 10.
Okay, we're going to take...
In a while, I'm sorry.
We're going to take a little bit of a break here for a second. Okay. Binary X. Probably binary decimal and hex is a good thing to do.
Right?
Nope. But keep guessing. Okay, 111. And then that's the end of binary, right? It's 0 and 1. So the next thing is 10. Okay. And it's because we have the powers of 0. One, two, four, eight. Okay. So in fact, we're going to go through that over there. But if I write 1110 over this, 1 times 8 is 8, plus 1 times 4 is 4. So I'm up to 12. 8 and 4 are 12. 1 times 2 is 2. So I'm up to 14. And now we have a problem, because we know that it's 14 in decimal, but now we got to switch it over to hex. Okay.
Actually, someone over there said 14.
What?
Someone over there said 14.
But that's not the answer.
It's
E, right. It's E. So this is E. So if I come over here, 1, 1... It's a 3, it's a 3. What's the next one? 1, 1 after that. Not counting here. What's next?
Is it a 0, 1? No. No, 1, 1, 0.
One, zero, zero.
Thank you.
1, 0, 0, okay? Because 1, 1 plus 1. 1 plus 1 is 1, 0. We already figured that out. 1 plus 1 is 1, 0. Put down the 0, carry the 1. 1 plus 1 is 1, 0. Okay. So this is 4, 4, 1, 0, 1 is 5, and 5. What's the next one?
1, 1, 0.
1, 1, 0. One, 0, 0 plus 1 is 101. Plus 1, 1 plus 1 is 10. Put down the 0, carry the 1, and bring them down. So 1, 1, 0, and then a 6, and then a 6, and then what's this?
1, 1, 1. 1, 1, 1.
Is 7 and 7. What's 8? She really did a terrible job.
No, it's not that. It's just, you know, for me personally, I haven't looked at binary in a while, so it's not that.
8, isn't it 1000?
Yes. 1000. Okay. 1, 1, 1 plus 1. 1 plus 1 is 10. That's probably the big thing to know. 1 plus 1 is 10. Put down the 0, carry the 1. 1 plus 1 is 10. Put down the 0, carry the 1. 1 plus 1 is 10. So that's 8, 8. Okay. And what's 9?
1001 is 9.
Okay. So what's 10?
1010?
Yep. No.
1010. And I can check that by this 8421. 8 and 2 is 10. 8 and 2 are on, 4 and 1 are off, 8 and 2 is 10. Okay? So what is a 10 in hex?
A.
A. Capital A. And so what's next? 1011, which is 11, which is a B. And next?
1100.
Yep. Which is 12, which is a C. Hexadecimal is used is every four-digit binary, every four binary digits can be translated into one hexadecimal digit. And every hexadecimal digit can be transferred into four binary digits. And that's why binary, that's why hex is used. Back when I was first at this, they had a BCD, which was a binary coded decimal, and it was only 6 digits. And so 6 digits meant that it only went up to 111, okay? And they didn't have room for all the lowercase letters and all the rest of it. ASCII, which is what is being used now, IBCDIC, which was what was used prior to this, were both 8 bits. And so with 8 bits, if you're dumping memory and every character is worth 8 bits, you want to translate it, so you split 8 bits in half and it makes it 4, and every 8 bits can translate into 2 hexadecimals. And if you're leading a dump of memory, it's a lot easier to read 2 hexadecimals than it is to read the string of binary bits. Okay, so which is why they want the translation, and hexadecimal is the one that translates. Okay. But if you just remember that 8, 4, 2, and 1, then you can translate anything. And remember the decimal 10 goes up there, that when they run out of digits in hex, they start at 9 A, B, C, D. So it goes 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, A, B, C, D, E, F. Okay. So I'm going to actually be teaching hexadecimal in the next class. I wonder if I'll do any better. Will they remember next year? 120.
Oh yeah, I took 120 with Pharaoh.
Okay. And so you got some hex there, yeah. Huh?
Remembering it wasn't fun, it was converting.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And for me personally, it's like if you don't use it for a while, you forget it, you know. So. Yeah.
Right. So now you've used it. So now you're going to remember it if it comes up again, right? So. I'm going to close this up, and I'm going to submit E, and it says, yes, you got it. So on this one, I'm going to put in E again, and it comes back with maybe next time. And if I don't put anything in there, it basically starts over and comes out with figure out the hexadecimal for these binary numbers. So I've got it set up so that there are 3 responses that the user can make. No response, and just submit an answer, the right answer or the wrong answer. So there's 3 possibilities there.
So that would be 0, right?
That's right. This would be 0. And what's this one?
9.
Okay, come on.
6. 4.
Yeah. 0. There's too many zeros here. Okay, what's this one?
8. 12.
Okay. You're in decimal. Actually, it wasn't 12 even in decimal. Okay, so that's the program, essentially, and that's all it does, is it just does the conversions, okay? So now we're going to go and look at the program. And it's called Hex, Binary Hex Test. Okay. So first of all, I've got all of the choices. So you can see down here, I've got, if there is a 1, 0, 0, 0, which is an 8. If there is a, the next one is, real answer is a 6, and so forth. So those go through and look at all of the different possibilities. Okay, up here is the C. If it's a 1100, then it's a C. So I've got all of the different possibilities in there. Okay, now if you noticed, there are times when there is only 2 boxes that showed up there. There were times when there were 3 boxes, and there were times when there were 4 boxes. So one of the things I have to deal with is that. So we're going to get started and look at this program. First of all, this array key exists means basically that somebody has done something. And there's a second way of doing that with is set. And we will look at those. But the beginning part here is simply, is there an answer? Because if there is an answer, then that means that we're in the game. If there is no answer, I am making the assumption that we're not in the game. And that's why if somebody hits the submit and doesn't put in an answer, it starts all over again. Because I'm making the assumption that they're not in the game. Okay? So I am looking for my answer, and I'm looking for real answer. And as I said, we'll come back and see more of this as we're going through it. But my answer is the user information. Real answer is the calculated information. Okay? And we looked at the list of calculations. So real answer is what got calculated. My answer is what comes up. Okay? So what they're putting in the box. My answer. Okay. So I came down here and I said, okay, after I check that, and I am storing what they, if they put anything in, I'm storing it in dollar sign my answer. And the result of my calculation, I'm putting in dollar sign real answer. Then I do the start check. So I come down here and I define as global the things that I'm going to be using here that I also want available in the whole program. So I said, okay, if my answer is empty, then figure out the hexadecimal for these binary numbers. Okay. Else, if my answer equals real answer, put out the message, got it. Else, if my answer doesn't equal real answer, put out the maybe next time. Okay? So when I start out, I'm doing the start check. Okay? And it is going to, the first time through, figure out the hexadecimal for these numbers. Okay? Because I don't have a my answer yet. Okay? So it's going to put those out. And then I'm going to go and do the thing called print binary. Okay, so I'm going down to the function. Each of these is functions. So I'm going down to the function called print binary. Okay. So, here's print binary. And I'm picking a random number to tell me the number of cards that I want to put up there. And I'm calling those square boxes that had a 0 and 1 in them cards. So I'm saying, pick a random number. And the random number should be 2, 3, or 4. So it's a random number between 2 and 4. Okay? If the number of cards, then, after it's picked the random number, is 2, go do the 2 cards routine. If the number is 3, go do the 3 cards routine. If the number is 4, go do the 4 cards routine. And I probably shouldn't be saying routine. I should have been saying function, because I'm going and doing the functions. Okay. So, if I go to the 2 card, yeah, that's what I want. Okay, so my variable that I'm going to be using here that I want to have available to the rest of the program is real answer. I've got some other variables going on there, but they aren't the ones that I want available. So I said, okay, now, choice one, I know I have 2 cards, and choice one is a random number from 0 to 1. Okay? And choice 2 is a random number from 0 to 2. Okay? So then I am going and doing the show binary. And the show binary is taking up the number. Okay? So I'm saying go and do the show binary and send it to choice 1, which is a random number from 0 to 1. So it's sending it either a 0 or a 1. So it comes up here to show binary and it receives it as which. So it receives the 0 or the 1 from down there as the which. So again, looking at that, choice 1 equals a random number from 0 to 1. Go do show binary and send choice 1. Choice 1 gets received as dollar sign which. And then I said, okay, my images are named binary1.king and binary2.king. Okay, if you come over here, here are my images. They're labeled binary1.ping and binary2.ping. Okay? So what I did over here is say binary and then put the dollar sign which in there, which puts either a 0 or a 1 there. So it gets either binary 0 or binary1.ping and gets that particular image. So it gets the image and puts the images out. Okay, and it does this twice. So it may get 00, it may get 01, 10, 11, it's putting them out. Okay. Now, if choice 1 is equal to a 1 and choice 2 is equal to a 1, then real answer is 3. Because 1 and 1 are 3. Else, if choice 1 is a 1 and choice 2 is not a 1, then real answer is 2, because I've got a 1-0, and a 1-0 is a 2. Else, if choice 1 is a 0, if choice 2 is a 1, I've got real answer as a 1, else I've got real answer as a 0. Okay, so there's only 4 possibilities there with the random. Okay? With 2, I've got more possibilities. With three cards, I have more possibilities. So I go up and send it a random number three times, go to show binary, and pull out the card. Image source equals either binary one or binary two. So I'm pulling out the cards to make whatever it is that I want to make, those three cards. And they're going to be some combination of ones and zeros. And then I come back here and check and figure out what real answer is. Okay, so I go through and I check what's in the first one, what's in the second one, what's in the third one, and figure out what real answer is. Okay. And then when I came to four cards, I got sick of doing individual ifs, and so I put them all out. So if choice one equals one, and choice two equals one, and choice three equals one, and choice four equals one, I've got an F. So I've got my real answer is an F. So for each of these, I'm going and coming up with real answer. Okay. So I've come up with real answer, and now I'm going to do the routine called get answer, which is going to check on the get the answer that I can then go back and check. So I'm now getting the answer. Now, I put on the form a place for my answer and a place for real answer. Okay. Real answer, I'm hiding. So that is not on the form. I'm hiding real answer. Okay, but I got to keep this because I'm going to be reloading the form in a minute and I'm going to lose it if I don't keep it. So I am keeping it so that when I submit, I'm submitting both what they put in for my answer and my real answer that I've kept hidden. So I've got a form, and I've got a text box that allows me to put in my answer. I've got a hidden text box that is going to contain the real answer because I'm sending it to the real answer. So that means when I hit submit, I will be submitting both my answer and real answer. So when I hit submit, I'm going to submit them both. Okay? And the reason I have to do that is because I'm going to be reloading the page and I'm going to lose real answer if I don't keep it. I've done all this work to get real answer. Now I'm getting the user to give me my answer. Now I gotta resubmit and start all over again, basically, to check it. Because the next thing I'm gonna do is check. So I gotta send them both. And so that hidden means the user can't see it, but it's there and it's being sent. Okay? So I'm submitting answer. And notice on this one, I don't have a form action. Because if you don't have the form action, it resubmits the same page. So I'm resubmitting the same page. Okay? So I'm resubmitting the same page, and I've got an answer, and I've got a real answer, and I start the start check. So the start check looks at it and says, okay, my answer is not equal to, because I put something in there. So I go to the else, and if my answer equals real answer, and I'll assume that you did it right, it says you got it. Okay? So it says you got it, otherwise it says maybe next time, and that's the end of the start check. So it now does the print binary function, and puts up another problem for you and takes in your answer. Okay, so again, if you are doing this, Okay. So if I put in here a 4 and I submit the answer, it says maybe next time. And as soon as it does that, it puts up the next problem. So as soon as it has finished that routine, okay, that routine put up the maybe next time, and then the next thing it does is after the start check is the print binary. So what the print binary does is put up the next problem. Okay? So what you're really doing here is the first time through you go through this, and it has nothing in my answer, so I give it the figure out. Okay? Then after I have given it the figure out, it goes and does show print binary. And print binary is down here. Okay? And print binary puts up the problem. And then after I go to print binary, I do the get answer, which takes in the user's response to the problem. Then I reload the page and I start over again. And the first thing I'm going to do is the start check, which checks to see if they put in the right answer. Okay. Now, in the function print binary, notice I have print binary. So I have print binary function. And the print binary function calls depending on what it's doing, but one of them it calls is the two cards. And if we look at the two cards calls show binary. So I basically got the print binary, which then calls the function called two cards or three cards or four cards, and each one of those calls the show binary. So this can call either two cards or three cards or four cards. And each one of those calls the show binary. So I have a cycle of one calling another that's going on there in the print binary. And the thing that I want to have available to me throughout is always real answer. And so when I'm calculating real answer, I make that global, which means it's available to any routine in the program. It's not just local to the function. It's global and available. Okay. Choice one down here. Okay, I didn't care to make that global. I just need it here in this routine. Up here, cards. I just need it local in this routine. But the things that I want to make global and available throughout, I have to define at the beginning of the function so that it knows that this is something that will be available throughout the program. So that's got a lot of things in there, but the only thing I care about is real answer. Okay. Because later on, now that I've put this up here, I know what the real answer is, and I'm putting it up. And now when I come down here, I'm asking the user to type in their answer, which I'm calling my answer. And I have real answer because I've already calculated it. I make it a value so that when I hit the submit button, both my answer and real answer get submitted. Okay. And that means that this comparison that I'm going to make up here, where I say, is my answer equal to real answer, has the real answer, so it can make the comparison. And it also has the my answer, because I'm sending them both. Questions? We're starting to get into a little more complex stuff, so questions asked. Okay, we will look at the update stuff on Thursday, and then I'm going to ask you to write an update as well. Okay, but we'll look at those on Thursday. Because we only have 3 minutes left, so it's a little bit not worth starting.